we desire to share our love, life, and legacy with the hopes that it inspires, compels, and challenges others. We're all about growth and leveling up, and that is what we aim to do. Now, something that we would like for everyone to understand is that this podcast is based on our opinions, framed from our life's experiences and perspectives. This is not to say that we are right and you're wrong. This is merely to challenge and elevate our lives, your life, and the conversations that surround the topics we speak on. Now, without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast. We got a good discussion tonight.
I hope it's going to be good.
I hope. Now, we're going to transition probably about two or three times because it all kind of revolves around the same thing.
Right.
But as usual, we hope that everybody's going to get something out of it. You'll be able to input it, add to the discussion, and make it, you know, as good as we're intending it to be. All right, moderate.
So earlier this week, I posted an article about single shaming, and quite a few of my single friends actually said that they felt that way about, you know, single shaming, that it's a thing.
Right.
So John and I spoke about it, and the article has some questions in it, or some examples of how the type of questions that people ask another person that could be shaming them. And one of the questions were, you know, are you lonely? Can I hook you? Another question was, can I hook you up with someone? Why haven't you settled down? And just a few questions like that. And the article ended by saying, if someone asks you questions like that, you know, just don't answer, or just give them a blank stare and they'll get the point. But I don't really think that's shaming someone. And, you know, and I'm being cautious because I am not single. And I too have asked someone, you know, are you, you know, looking for someone? You know, I got another single friend. I have even, you know, try to, you know, play matchmaker, or if I, you know, see someone, you know, whatever. And I guess because for some of my single friends who do say that they're happy and single, and I'm not discrediting them being happy and single, but I also see the moments when they do want somebody, or I'm with them as a friend while they're in a relationship. So I'm giving like these advice, and then I know that they want companionship to some point. And then other times, you know, they, you know, I'm happy, I'm doing me and all of that. So I get confused trying to help them. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm really shaming someone.
And that's the wrong terminology to be using. In my opinion, I don't think we should be using the word shaming. And every time I hear somebody use the word shame, it's them trying to get out of something that they want, or they know it's true, but don't really feel like being bothered about it, and want to stand their ground on the issue. You know, stop single shaming me. Well, it's not shaming, because the goal is to be in a relationship, right or wrong.
Well, that's our cultural norm.
But who doesn't want to be in a relationship?
I mean, I don't know, singles, what y'all say, because I do see a lot of y'all say y'all happy.
Y'all can add in on this, but this is always my argument.
But
to say that you are happy and single, and I'm glad that you're happy and single.
Me too.
All right.
Because everybody ain't happy and married.
Okay, but not happy and married.
That's another topic.
Now, if that single person could change their situation in a heartbeat, they would not say no.
If they
Because companionship and relationship is the goal, then it shouldn't be categorized as shaming if we're asking why you haven't reached the goal.
Some people don't feel like it's the goal.
The only reason they feel that way is because they have no choice but not to feel that way being single.
Okay, so let's define shame, because I looked up the word shame because I wanted to see if I'm actually, you know, a part of the problem to shame.
We're trying to be a part of the solution.
Yeah, we're trying to be part of the solution. So shame, by definition, is painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior.
Exactly.
Singles feel like when they're being asked about their relationship that they're wrong to be single, therefore they're saying it's shame?
Exactly. That's why it's an illusion, and it should be taken out of the category of shame. We're not saying you're wrong. We're just asking why you haven't gotten to the goal line yet. That's it. I used this example earlier, right? When I used the example with Eva. I said, babe, you in school?
Yeah.
What you going for?
My doctorate.
Why you not done yet?
Because, I mean, it takes a while.
Right.
Yeah.
But am I degree shaming you now?
No. But, like, say I didn't have my high school diploma. And you be like,
why you ain't got your diploma yet?
I might feel shameful at that point.
And in all honesty, with that, in that case, you should feel shameful. I'm sorry, you 30 some years old. I'll just blame if anybody who doesn't have it. You can always, you know, do what you got to do to get it. But that's not the point in what we're trying to say.
So guess what? Ty Warner responded. Hey, Ty. She said no.
I can finish my point before you bring it
in. I'm sorry. Because
you can't do two things at one time.
Sorry.
Have mercy. Girl, calm your nerve down.
Okay, hurry up. Because I'm ready to read her comment.
Well, you know, made me lose my thought.
Go ahead and read
the thing.
Did
man.
I shame you?
No, you shame me.
Tywana said, it's more embarrassing for me than shame. And that's something that Jonathan, spoke about it. That's why I was excited. He brought up that point. He was like, maybe they're embarrassed.
That's all it is. And but that's the problem. When we are embarrassed about something,
then we want to
run.
Oh.
And in us running, we look back at the person or people that we're running from, and you're saying, you're shaming me. That is a passive aggressive reaction to us being embarrassed, period. That's all it is.
But she shouldn't be embarrassed.
No, I get the embarrassment, though.
Because the cultural norm, of settling down.
And not even the cultural norm. I think how we are created as human beings, we're created for companionship. We're created for relationship. We're created for love. And when somebody that desires that, who wants to follow their instinctive nature, doesn't have it yet, it hurts if somebody were to bring up the reality that, hey, you don't have it yet, but that's not shaming you. We're not saying you're wrong. We're just asking why you haven't gotten there yet.
So thank you for Tywana for adding that. So for Tywana, it's embarrassing because it's a goal of hers. And for other people that it may not be embarrassed, it's not a goal for them. You think it's like that?
Say it one more time. I'm sorry.
So for Tywana, it's embarrassing because it is a goal for her, it seems like. It's a goal to be in a relationship. So it's embarrassing to her because she hasn't achieved that yet. But to somebody who ain't looking for it, who's not a goal, who doesn't have that goal, maybe they won't feel embarrassed.
So my question is, why don't they have that goal?
Because some people probably already tried relationships before and just realize it's not for them, you know. Maybe they want a relationship, but they don't want a marriage. They just want a close friend. I mean, I think people can define their own kind of relationship-y thing.
I hear you.
Yeah, she said embarrassed because of my personal expectations I have for myself. And myself is capitalized.
Go ahead.
Yes. So I feel that.
I do,
So Tywana, do you think it's the person asking you is shaming you, or you just feel embarrassed and some people interpret that as someone shaming them? I hope I asked that right.
You did ask that right.
Yeah, because I don't want anybody to feel like if I ask you or whatever, or maybe they're saying don't ask.
Now, hold on real quick. Let's read another comment real fast. Says Carol said, I guess the word shaming has been tossed around so much. A truthful statement of inquiry or advice can be seen as shaming. The lines have been kind of blurred. Absolutely right. Yeah. It has been. I'm asking out of genuine concern because I want to see you in a relationship in the best possible scenario that I could possibly see. But I just think that in a culture that is so insecure and easily offended, we can't hold each other accountable to what we know that we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. When I talk to brothers and I talk to men, I ask them, hey, you know, you ready for a relationship? Oh, no, big dog, I can't be like you yet. But that's a good question. Hold on, that's a good point. When I talk to men about this, men don't ever say you're shaming me.
What? You think that's
the men I talk to, when I ask single men that either aspire to be in a relationship like how I'm in, or you know, or eventually go there,
or
in a relationship and then I'll commit it. And I asked them, hey, you know, when you gonna lock it down, settle it down, marry, you know, start a family, have a family, whatever. I always get, man, I ain't ready for that big dog, or you know, I ain't there yet. I can't be you right now, but I'm gonna get there one day. But they don't get offended. Mm. They don't raise their hairs up and their necks up and want to fight and write articles and it's not. I'm starting to really wonder if that's a female trait. Is it something that more women do than men do? Because the men I talk to, they don't come at me left.
But you don't know how they feel in the inside.
So you mean? Oh, so they're keeping?
I don't know.
Nah.
Who really gonna buck up at you?
I mean,
Taiwan to say yes. The fact is that they bring it up makes me feel like everyone thinks, why is she still single?
That's true. Ray said, listen, I'm 35, no kids, and single. I get this all the time. I just say when it happens, it happens. I'm not shameful about it. If I found a fool, cool, humble, and a backbone for me, little be there. I don't know what you're trying to say with that, but. But anyways, John, them onion rings, bro.
What onion rings?
He goes to Mount Pleasant to buy onion rings. Them onion rings are bussing, but he's a ways out. Ew. So, yeah, anyways. I just, again, in a culture, I'm back to the point. In a culture that is super insensitive and super PC, I just really think that we get offended.
Correct.
Yes, we get offended when the truth is being spoken about our well-being, and oh, y'all gonna get mad at me, like fat shaming. Oh,
I'm a little fat right now.
Don't get mad at me. I'm speaking as a fat boy.
You remember when you called me Big Eva?
Yeah, you Big Eva now. You Big Eva.
You
Big Eva now. But I like Big Eva. Big Eva curvy. Big Eva gave me a lot more to grab onto. I like Big Eva. Anyway.
I cannot with you.
Anyways. Okay, this whole fat shaming thing, right? I hear the word tossed around so loosely, especially when it has to do with people that don't want to be challenged about their weight and their obesity. I am a fat boy. I know I have rolls and I have titties. I got man boobs. I got love handles. I've been dealing and struggling with weight my whole life. I know I need to change it because it's the biggest I've ever been. If I go outside and my fatness offends somebody and they get disgusted, I cannot get mad at them and say that they are shaming me because I'm fat.
But they are.
I know that I'm big because obesity is not something that should be glorified. And for you to be happy in your fatness is arrogant and it's irresponsible.
Except in the way that they are.
No. You can love yourself where you're at knowing that you need to change if you know you need to change. But for you to sit there and say there's nothing wrong with me and I can be fat and you're going to love and accept me for the way I am and don't say nothing about it is just irresponsible. And it shows a lack of accountability and responsibility on yourself as a human being and a person who can influence somebody, rather be a loved one or the masses, a.k.a. Lizzo. She walked with her ass out. The Lakers game was freaking disgusting. I am sorry. I did not applaud it. I did not clap at it. I didn't say, you go, girl. I didn't say any of that because she has thousands of people that look at her influence musically and her as a brand, including all the kids that were there at the LA Lakers game at the time, family event, and your ass out and you twerking. You cannot sit here and not expect for somebody to say something if they are offended at how you look. If how you look has to do with your health condition because it's unhealthy. I am fat. It is not right. And if you tell me, John, you may need to lose some pounds, it gonna hurt me, don't get me wrong, because I know it and I've been struggling with it, but I'm not gonna get mad at truth.
I get you.
And that's the whole problem I have with this whole shaming thing. Everything levels, everything that you say is shameful doesn't need to be on the level of shame. It's accountability, it's truth. And the fact of the matter is, you don't like being told the truth and held accountable because you really don't want to change or don't know how to change. And if you don't know how to change, it's fine, but say it. Don't push it off. Be passive aggressive and say, you're shaming me. I can't stand these political correct police that walk around and say, leave them alone. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know their life. You don't know their struggles. You're absolutely right. But I can see them. I'm looking at them. Mm-hmm. I can see them in their singleness. And I know that there's a possibility of happiness on the other side, because if that's the goal, I want to see them get there. What's going on? Maybe there's a process that I can help them heal through. And if I'm so scared to ask the question because I'm afraid they're going to get offended, then how can anybody help someone cross the finish line? Michael Jordan needed a coach. Kobe Bryant, rest the dead, and all of their greatness needed a coach. Everyone needs a coach. Everyone needs accountability.
I agree.
So why get mad, single folk?
I don't know.
Fat folk include me?
And me.
My,
I can be a part of this team much longer.
I know. team fat body is going away. I'm tired of this,
me
man.
Me too. Miss Lillian said, where can we find honest and loyal men?
She ain't put that on this. She on
no,
something
she
else?
On my watch party.
Oh, I canceled my watch party.
Oh.
You said what now?
Miss Lillian says, where can we find honest and loyal men?
I would say at the church, but I don't go no more.
And I don't think they in the church like that anyways.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I honestly don't know. I would say try a notable and reputable dating site, maybe.
I've been hearing that a lot of people have been even getting married and finding genuine relationships, but I don't know where to find.
I honestly don't. I
think it's random. I just think it's friendships.
You're trying to say love is not intentional, love is random?
No, I'm trying to say when you meet people and you become friends with people and things like that.
Oh, spur of the moment, kind of random.
I don't know.
So I don't know how to answer that system, that question, sis.
Nikki say truth hurts. Taiwana says it's not a female thing. It's just some women have the tendency to wear their emotions on their sleeves. Men are just as emotionally attached to being in a relationship. It's just that they don't express it as much.
Yeah. Let's go back. Some comments actually on the podcast post.
Okay.
What's up, Tamika? She said, yes, because some women are raised to believe that they have to be married to amount to something. And when you don't reach that goal, you are a disappointment. That's a great point, sis.
Yeah.
But again, it's okay to be happy in your singleness, yeah. Right? We're not saying that where you're at, you should not be happy. And for any woman that's raised to feel like they're at this point because they haven't reached that at a certain level, I'm sorry, because that you shouldn't feel that way. You should be happy in any point in life where you're at. But with that being said, if someone were to ask the question, there shouldn't be a level of offense that happens. Like that, it's okay to ask, you know, why, and it's okay to answer the question, even if you've been asked a million times. It's the degree of how we handle the question. I think that's what we're trying to tackle, to debunk it. Since Carol said, "Wow, you have essentially taken responsibility for yourself." You know what? My husband says the same thing. Yes, little kids were there. The media held her behavior. Yeah, for real. Tony, what's going on, brother? Yeah, it is. It's cancel culture.
My watch party, something happened to it this night.
That's why I canceled my watch party.
Oh.
Y'all, if y'all want our watch party on our page, me or Eva's page, we're canceling them. Please go to the Love Life Legacy podcast page.
Yeah, something happened to it. It said the error loaded, but.
Yeah, we're probably running too many things on Wi-Fi at one time.
Yeah, one Wi-Fi.
Pay a lot of money for it, though.
But anyways. I think you brought up some really good points about it. I really do. I don't think it's shaming from our end. Mm-mm. From the person that's asking. I think it's how people internalize what's
going on
within them, and they expect you to know. And you know, another example, because some people say we pregnancy shame. Like, now you're not supposed to ask a woman, you know, it's not politically correct anymore to ask a woman if she has children. And I have even been caught in a situation like that. We were talking about kids, and it was a group of women that we were talking about kids, and I had five, somebody had theirs, and then myself, I said, well, how many kids, to the other person who wasn't talking, which I didn't read the conversation, because, you know, she was a part of our conversation, and she was like, you know, I don't have any, and she doesn't believe she could have any, and you know, she was struggling to conceive. And then I left the conversation. I felt bad, and I was like, oh, I shouldn't ask, you know, whatever, whatever. But she was in the middle of a group of us talking, so I just, everybody else shared, and I just felt like, ooh, did I embarrass her? Maybe, you know, I shouldn't have said anything and let her offer how many children she have, because I could have shamed her.
Oh my God.
I'm saying, you know, people like Gabrielle Union, you know, was honest about her struggling, you know, having children and children conversation.
Yeah, but I don't even want to bring her in a conversation. I honestly think that chick messed up all the way.
Okay.
I think she got, okay, I think as a person, she got way more stuff than we understand going on.
Okay, but let's get off. But yeah. I'm just saying, you know, because people are embarrassed because we all have different struggles. We all have different pains. We all have different lives. So, you know, bringing up children to some people who have lost kids or whatever, you know, you just can't talk about certain things anymore because people interpret it as shaming.
At the end of the day, cancel PC culture.
So
let's move on to the
On to the next topic. So we talked about single shaming initially. So now we're going to talk about marriage shaming. So in the news in February,
there's going to be a good one.
No, in the news in February, you know, unfortunately, Miss B. Smith passed away. And in 2017, 2016,
who's Miss B. Smith?
Is the entrepreneur, model lady who husband, who had Alzheimer's, and she passed away.
Okay.
Miss B. Smith passed away in February, but in 2016, 2017, you know, her husband was caught up in this controversy because he had a live-in girlfriend while Miss B. Smith was still living with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And so people was shaming him because the marriage vow says to death do us part, through sickness and in health. And people felt like, you know, how dare you have a woman living in your house and your wife is there sick. You know, people shamed him and his marriage for that. And he said that him and B. Smith had an understanding that when her Alzheimer's took for a turn, that she wanted him to be happy. And in him being happy, if he has to find another mate, such, you know, she can make that happen. And his live-in girlfriend, you know, helped take care of B. Smith. She was there by his side and by B. Smith's side. But some people found that to be offensive and against the marriage vows. And what's your take on that?
I just want to make mention that I actually pronounced the word Alzheimer's.
I say it wrong still?
Yeah, we
Alzheimer's?
Yeah. I had to do it to you, babe. I'm sorry. What? I'm just joking.
Let me hear it again.
Alzheimer's.
What am I? Because I say the T.
Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
That's how we all say it. Just like we say Amblams.
Yeah, it's an Amblam.
I'm playing. I'm joking.
All right, go ahead.
This was very interesting when I had actually got put on to it. She had Alzheimer's. She was about to go out. They were married.
She was diagnosed in 2013. So it wasn't like right away. She had to, you know, and the lady was 70 years old. So she wasn't, you know,
exactly.
Young.
So he is a man that devoted his life to the marriage, mm-hmm. took marriage vows and honored the marriage vows. Mm-hmm. His wife was dealing with a
terminal illness.
Yeah. Terminal illness.
Is it really terminal? Well,
there's no cure for it. Yeah. Right. So she was on her way out. She wouldn't have known who he was. And in my opinion, I think that was the most sacrificial and loving thing that I think that she could have done, knowing that he's still going to be here. He has needs and he still wants to be loved by someone. And she was going to be incapable of doing it. So she made a commitment and an executive decision to say, find that love now and start now. And the girlfriend helped out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The girlfriend helped out.
She moved in and helped him.
Moved in, helped out. And when it hit the news, oh my God, he got dragged. He should be ashamed of himself. I couldn't have never done that. He shouldn't have did it. How that woman feel having another woman in the house. You heard all kind of stuff, but they wasn't looking at the big picture. They didn't look at that. This woman did exactly what we're supposed to do when you truly love somebody in a marriage and in a commitment like that. You take that person's consideration over yours, their wants, their needs, their desires over yours, because it being married in a relationship is a selfless act. Mm-hmm. And because she knew she was about to leave, she selflessly said, babe, be happy. Mm-hmm. In spite of how you may feel about it, you know my condition. Do what you got to do. How many of us would be able to do that, to be honest with you? We trip if we in a relationship and our spouse or our mate look at somebody else with interest, or, you know, inquire or talk too long. You know, it's really, I think, is honorable for her to have made that decision, knowing that she was about to go out. Mm-hmm. So that's my opinion.
So many people don't even hear the marriage vows until they're at the altar. I'm not sure if you attend the wedding, if you actually pay attention to the marriage vows, but it says to have and to hold, for better or for worse, richer and poor, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and cherish, to death do us part, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I really think that they fulfilled it on a whole new level.
They did.
You know, to have and to hold, he didn't leave her.
No. For better or for worse, she was better and she was getting worse.
And he stuck by her.
All poorer. You know. She was an entrepreneur. They were together. They had bread. Mm-hmm. So they was poor and they was rich together. In sickness and in health. Uh-huh. She was healthy. She got sick. To love and to cherish. Of course she did. Or he did. They loved and cherished each other till death to us part. That's the kicker.
That's the kicker.
Boom. Here we go. Because, Tawan, I see what you said. You said to death to us part. But and he's, think about and it he's like this. There. Her Alzheimer's, in my opinion, is a type of death.
Consciously, yes.
It's a conscious form of death. You literally don't know who you are and who people are, who you loved and who loved you. You are tapped out. And she had a very aggressive form of Alzheimer's. So even if he would have said, no, I'm not going to move on and get somebody else, she would have not known who he was. Can you imagine the amount of stress that could put on somebody for you to have to constantly fight to keep that woman who has an illness that erases her memory, that does not know you,
that can't fulfill your needs.
You can't touch. They're afraid of you because you can't remember them. They're a stranger. They can't remember you. You're a stranger. That has to be hard.
It is. I believe it is hard.
So I get that line, that kicker, to death do us part, we have to look at when the death happened. Now, she hadn't physically died, but mentally she was gone. No. You go ahead.
So the topic is shaming. You know, people felt as though his, what was his name? I forgot his name.
Who, the husband?
Yeah, Dan.
I'm about to say Beesman's husband.
But why isn't that considered marriage shaming? You know,
why is it not considered marriage shaming?
I didn't hear people say, you know, stop marriage shaming him or whatever. No one came to his
defense they at all. They dragged him.
Yeah, and I just don't think it was right. But I found it honorable because, God forbid, if something happened to one of us to that extent, you know, we've given each other the liberty to, you know, but hopefully we don't have to deal with that.
No, but that is something that we really have talked about.
You have to. And before my mom passed, you know, she talked to my dad, not only my dad, she talked to all of us, her sisters, and say, you know, that my husband can remarry, you know, don't stop nothing and let him be happy. You know, she was sick over Father's Day. She wanted us to go out and celebrate, like, just go ahead, because she understand that life goes on.
Yeah.
And they still had their marriage. And I just think that people have to understand the level of commitment
exactly
that it takes.
I know. And I know, I understand we're talking about a different level of commitment, when you reach that level with a person, you really come outside of yourself, your wants, your needs, your desires for the other person. Right. That type of love that we were talking about, that level of love, what is it? The Legos?
No, I think that one is kind of like agape.
Agape love.
It's the most highest.
It's the highest form of love one
ever.
And if you once you get to that point, you really your paradigm shifts.
Yeah.
You see life differently. It's you see not the a world differently.
Marriage.
It's not. It's you really having that person's best interest at heart over your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to want to say if it's that stressful, how can you entertain a whole another person? I get what you're saying, sis. I get it. I honestly, looking from the outside in, I totally get what you're saying. But trying to be as reflective as I can, using us as an example, being married, if I was going out, as hard as it is or would be for a man, as a man, to accept the fact that my wife would move on, right? I would have to accept that fact. I have no choice. I'm tapped out.
But then he didn't move on.
He kept
her a part of the journey as much as he could.
Yeah, they still live together.
And it is easy taking care of somebody with that type of thing, you know, that type of disease. It's not. For that lady her name is Alex, that became his living girlfriend, for her to understand and to help him help her, I thought it was amazing.
I really did. I liked how you saw selfless people caring about each other.
He could have put her in a nursing life. He put her in a home and just left her to dry because, you know, she's the first African American that started a retail line, and she was this restaurant person or whatever, and he just left her and just let somebody else. But for him to look at her every day and to still take care of her, and like if you saw his interview, he loved his wife.
Yeah.
You know, and he had to cope with the transition too, but you know, people married shamed him and no one came to his defense. Well, people probably did, but I just didn't see it.
I didn't see it because more people talk trash
more
about him.
Bad about it.
Exactly.
And then you know who I did pay attention in the comments I read? It was single people.
People who don't understand that level of love.
Don't understand that level of love. And then there was some merit comments too, but I just remember the single one sticking out to me because I was like, how you know? Like how you know what it took?
We have conversations where would our kids go if God forbid one of us die? You know, she always says, you know.
Yeah, we can talk about that on here. But
I was about to say about the death thing. If you were to ever die, you told me to remarry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then I said, you know, if I was to ever die, I said, you know, you can go ahead and remarry. And you said that you probably wouldn't. And I try to follow your lead and say I wouldn't, but you said, no, you probably
wouldn't. Jonathan would marry.
I have to be in a relationship. I do. I think I was built to be in a relationship. I knew that at a very young age. I did. Even through all my mistakes, I knew I was supposed to be in a relationship. Capable of love.
It depends. I don't know. That's some hard shoes to fill.
So you say what now?
I said I might. I don't know.
You know, go back to the other thing you said.
That's some hard shoes to fill.
Oh, whose shoes? My shoes?
Yeah.
So somebody else can't measure up to me?
I don't know if they could.
I want you to give me some kudos in life.
You're so crazy. But just going back to the topic before we wrap up. So is shaming a thing? I don't really think it's a thing.
It's not.
I just think it's perception and the way people internalize how it feels. What are you laughing at?
Tawana, she said, that's what it is. Us singles don't understand, so we don't agree. I get that, sis. But that's the whole point of the conversation, to be honest with you. It's to elevate our understanding as a whole. You know, we have a perspective from a married life that we share, and having conversations and scenarios like this that play out, and it could potentially play out even with us. You know, if one of us were to get a terminal illness like that, and you know, God, I told her for she, had, I gave her a scenario. I said, God forbid, if I get in an accident and I become paraplegic and I can't work no more, I can't work the pole no more. All right?
There's examples, y'all.
And she said, you feel comfortable, you know, with another man, you know, coming out. So, well, babe, you got needs. I get that you would have to, you know, be fulfilled and you have needs. And she said, you know, could he come in the house? I said, well, no, I don't know about all that. You know, because I'm still in my right mind. It's just that I don't work from the waist down. So rightfully so, I can work them out, but you still need something else. If you got to do what you have to do, you have to do what you have to do. That's me being a very egotistical, proud man, but accepting the reality of the situation. If then I would have to put her needs over mine, because that is the goal. We honor each other's, we honor the marriage vows and how we relate in action when scenarios like that happen. And that's what I saw the lady, what her name?
B. Smith
husband did. That they honored their vows actionably through the scenario that they went through. And I would hope, God forbid, that if something would have happened to either one of us, that we would be able to do the same thing. I don't know, because we haven't went through it, but we're preparing ourselves, having conversations like this, the what would you do's if it happens. And I think for anybody who hasn't gotten to the level of being married, you have to really write this down as something that you need to question your partner about, and have these conversations, draw out these scenarios. So if it does happen, you're not sideswiped. You're able to handle it. Again, we do relationship through the lens of assumption. You should know, or we treat our spouse the way how we will react to a situation or scenario. We expect our spouse or our partner to do the same thing. And when they don't, then we get mad. Well, you got to conversate and talk through all of this stuff.
People have different expectations.
And then come out of, and come out of, what about coming out of your expectations? What about coming out of your standards? You told me that you didn't want any, you refused to be in a relationship with a man that had hair on his body.
Yeah, I didn't like
superficial as heck.
Chest hair.
I'm a hairy man. I mean, I'm sorry. I cut my beard off the second week of January, and I'm already picking it out with a pick. Like, I am a hairy man, except for here. Where I want to have hair, I can't have hair.
You grow hair. You just don't like your loose stuff line.
I would have the... Is it good? It grew right here and none right here, and then towards the back, and I'm thinning out in the middle. But other than that, I'm hairy everywhere else. She said she don't want a man with chest hair. You'd be hairy like that. Guess what? Here I am.
Bunch of chest hair.
Adjust your standards some. What you think shouldn't happen, it may happen. Mm-hmm. But you got to learn to be okay with that.
That's true.
I mean, through thick and thin.
Through thick.
You know, we have gained weight over the years.
We have.
Oh, so all of a sudden now we've gained weight
just 2 years ago.
We had a stand. You right. Right.
Because I've been a pole.
There was a standard of us being a certain size. And then all of a sudden it changed. If we didn't learn how to adjust. Mm-hmm. That would have been cause for divorce. And I've actually heard people say that that's a breaking point for them. That's a threshold. So your partner gaining weight is a deal breaker for you?
For some people, yeah.
How superficial is that, though? And that's why I'm saying these conversations are literally so important to have. Because we evolve as human beings personally, and our relationships evolve as well. And if that is the case, and the evolution of our relationship is going to drive us in scenarios and situations that's going to have to force us to adjust. Mm-hmm. You have to adjust. But if you're going to sit on your premise of what's right and what's wrong, and I don't want to shift, and I don't care what nobody else say, you will never successfully either be married or stay married, which I believe is harder than actually getting married. Staying married is harder.
Yeah. Or being in a long-term relationship.
We gotta have these conversations.
I think we do.
So I'm off my rant. I'm gonna stop talking.
You sure? You look like you got more to say.
I mean, I do, but I'm doing most of the talking. And I don't wanna take over the conversation, man.
That's okay.
I'm just really passionate about it because I wanna see I understand that all kind of ethnicities that watch the podcast, we appreciate the support, right? But I am proud and black, and I don't turn my blackness down for anybody. I want to see strong black relationships. I want to see us change the trajectory of the downward spiral that we have gone or allowed ourselves to go through, rather is systematic or personal. But I want strong black families again. You know, make strong black families great again.
I think there are, you know, more strong black families than we think.
No, I know that there's a lot, but there can be a lot better. The stats could be a lot better, especially in our small community of Charleston, South Carolina, where everybody know everybody. And we know the dirt and the tea about a lot of people that do what they do in the city. It could be better, even in our small community.
It could.
Well, but it takes us adjusting.
So the topic was tonight, is shaming really a thing? Right? So our culture.
Tawana, I can't stand you, but I love you. She said, I'm going to be single forever in my Cardi voice. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Live in,
no, you're not, man.
You know, breeds relationships. You know, to part is that we have TV shows out the yin yang. We have, everybody's talking about Love is Blind right
love
now.
Love that show.
We had Marriage at First Sight. You know, we have, you know, X on the Beach. We have The Real World. We have The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. We have so much shows that.
Wife swap,
you know, just trying to bring couples together or learn from couples. Hey, you know how many podcasts and groups that's on marriage and relationships and mm-hmm. things like that, including ours? You know, there's a lot of talk about relationships because that's just our culture. To be in relationships. So singles, if a and married person another single person, you know, ask you about what's going on or, you know, can they hook you up? I don't think it's meant it's not a shameful question. I just think it's just how that person perceives
the question.
Yeah. And then y'all might say that's not fair because I'm married, but I mean,
gotta stay married. What? I don't care what you say.
What?
No, I'm just saying when people say that, it bothers me.
What?
You can't say that because you're married. You know how hard it is to stay married?
Yeah, it is hard to stay married.
Oh my God. It's a task out of this world.
You can be discouraging singles from getting married.
No. You gotta understand your life is worth fighting for. So okay. is your marriage. If you're sick, you fight the common cold if you have one. You fight the flu. You fight an ailment. Your body is meant to heal itself, right? Everything is a fight. So is marriage. If you fight for your life, fight for your marriage. And this is a fight worth having for, is because we are building legacy. We're building strong families and strong relationships.
I don't think people think about legacy when they think about.
That's why we called it life, love, and legacy.
when they think about their lives, I wonder how many people before they go to bed or just, I don't know, at certain milestones really think that they're living their legacy.
It's the impact you leave in the world.
Yeah.
It's the impact you leave behind. And, you know, needless to say, I know that everybody can't have kids, but 9 times out of 10, our impact comes through our children. You know, and the examples that we and the examples that we leave behind. So it is important to us as a couple, the impact that we leave in the world, man. And it's hard.
Our world could be our small community, our friends, just our immediate family, whatever.
It can be.
Impact
matters.
You leave.
Impact matters. So it's important that our legacy is strong, mm-hmm. not perfect. We are so far from perfect, but we want our legacy to be strong. We want our legacy to speak to our successes, and we want our legacy to speak to our failures.
Mm-hmm. The lessons learned from it.
Yes. And, you know, when we lay down as human beings, as people, we really have to think about what our legacy is going to speak for and speak to after we're gone, man. You know, and when you consider it in the parameters of relationship and the parameters of marriage, how much more stronger is your legacy? Being in that scenario and building a life with your partner and you guys raising your children and just
if you have children
and shifting the scope of how, you know, family, and especially if you haven't had one. I wasn't raised in a two-parent household. You know, I watched my mom work 2.5, sometimes 3 jobs. So I knew I wanted something that I never experienced. Didn't know how hard it was going to be, but I knew that the work was going to be worth it.
And it's hard because you have to deny yourself. You have to, you have to challenge yourself to a point.
You do.
You know, and I think that's hard.
You do. And you got to challenge yourself when you're single to get in a relationship. You got to challenge yourself when you're big to lose weight.
Yep.
And you got to challenge yourself while you're married to stay married.
That's right. It's all a challenge. It is. And I just, you know, the legacy part of, you know, my life. To me, you know, I'm in my 30s now. So it's like, dang, the time is now to do whatever I need to do. You know, so it's like, what is, you know, what I want my obituary to read about me? You know, what impact do I want to make at work or just anything that I do? And I don't think people think about that. And when it comes to relationships, we always hear that, you know, behind a strong man is a great woman and, you know, those types of things like that, because relationships perfect us as individuals if we have our relationships the right way.
The right way.
Because it's an iron sharpened iron thing.
Big facts.
You know, if you have somebody that like, I'm leery of people, and this is just me, that always say, oh, if they're a female and they say, I don't have female friends, I watch them. If they are,
touch that real fast. Why you watch them?
Because it lets me. Because if they don't have any good female relationships, the common denominator is them. So I watch myself because I'm like,
you're gonna offend a lot of women.
I'm sorry, but that I have to protect me because I know I'm sociable, I'm loving, I'm giving, and I have been taken advantage of so many times. And when people be like, oh, I can't do relationships or I don't have friends like that, I just keep my eyes on them. I'll befriend you. I'll love you. I love you for who you are. But I have to watch because you have to learn relationships because that's life. Networking, relationships, going to work every day, relationship. Even if you're an entrepreneur, you're establishing relationships. Everything's about relationships. So if you can't do relationships with people close to you, then do you really care about the people who are distant? I mean, do you really care about your customers? It speaks so much volumes of the totality of the person that I have to be careful where I sow my feelings. I have to be careful where I sow my money. I have to be careful who I give my time to, because if relationships are nothing to you and you have no good relationships, then what precedent does that set for me? So it's like, yeah, I watch people when they say things like that because they're telling me their pattern. They're telling me so much about them. And then, y'all know I don't like going off on tangents.
Go ahead, woman. Talk your talk, girl.
I feel like I
talk your talk.
Bring it back. But I just watch how people do life at the end of the day. And I expect people to watch how I do life.
True.
You know? And that's why we try to be transparent with our highs and our lows.
Yeah.
You know, the relationships issues that me and Jonathan go through, you know, we're not ashamed about them.
No, we're not.
And we have some very low moments in our marriage.
Y'all might be shamed for us when we start sharing.
Yeah, people be like, you know, especially when I talk to people that be like, you stayed? Like, yeah.
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 Well,
I understand that. It's no shame. They be relationship shaming us?
They be relationship shaming
us. What? I just caught that.
They be relationship because it's better for us to be apart, right? Instead of work through our failures and our offenses that we've caused on each other to keep building our legacy, it's better to see us apart, right? It's just, you know, hurt people hurt people. And, you know, misery loves company. You know, we stay with each other through our lows. And guess what? We still choose to stay in our marriage. It's okay. You know, your job mess up on your check, you gonna quit? Or if they say they're gonna pay you and get better, are you gonna stay? You see, we can rationalize anything we want to.
That's true.
Except when it comes to someone offending and hurting us. That's a bar.
That's a bar.
That literally is a bar. We can rationalize that your broke down car, you done changed the water heater in. You done changed the battery in.
That alternator
is on the fritz. You know, how much work you done put in your car? You know, and you still driving it. For people that got to walk around with a water jug in the trunk.
I hope people don't still have to do that.
No, some people still have to do that. You still driving though. You ain't gave them that car yet. Eventually,
but they can't wait to replace it.
Yeah, you can't wait to replace it. But there's value still in that car. Keep driving it.
As long as you can.
As long as you can. till death do you part.
Right. And then some people feel as though, which we're not going to talk about tonight because we almost out of time, but some people feel as though marriage should have an expiration date.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which I do see it. I do.
I think marriage should have an expiration.
It's weird that
but
it doesn't.
People would say that's an oxymoron because we're all pro marriage, but we're saying it should expire.
No, yeah, but we have a reason. Yeah, we are married. We ain't going nowhere. You know, God forbid. You know, we ain't going nowhere. But at the same time, for a lot of people that get into marriage, that get married and they don't stay married, the whole expiration date would probably help them out. You know, that the marriage certificate or the license of marriage is, I think, the only contract that don't expire. I may be wrong, but I know that it is
expire.
It is one that doesn't it. Right, but it doesn't expire. My license renew after every 4 years.
Yeah, because the reason why it don't expire, because it says to death do us part, so it expires at death. Physical death.
You can still aim for death do you part, but you can have a checkup. Right? And your checkup can be after 4 years, every 4 years.
No, it does not work like that. No, I only agree that marriage have an expiration date because some people literally grow apart. And on that day when they vowed their life together and they said, I do, to death do us part, they probably meant it at that moment. But then,
maybe it didn't work out. But now you
because
stuck
you can't control.
Because it don't expire.
Yeah, you can't That's control wrong. Other people. And how they grow. Because at one point, we grew apart.
Yeah.
You know, we found ourselves back together. But if our marriage had an expiration date.
You would have leave me? You trying to say you would have leave me?
Yeah, man.
I'd have been the biggest stalker ever. You better not leave me. I'm just playing.
That is it for tonight. Yeah, did we miss any comments?
No.
My cousin Darren said, no, classes in session.
We love you too, classes in session. Yeah, I think we got everything. We got everything out that we wanted to.
So to singles, we don't mean to shame you. We really don't. We're just inquisitive, inquiring, want to know, how can we help? What can we do? You know, and it's nothing wrong with you guys just communicating. I'm just not ready for a relationship, or I'm not looking for a relationship.
And that's okay.
It doesn't have to be you shaming me, you know? It doesn't.
You know?
And when you see marriages act up, don't use that as a judgment to say, oh, that's why I got no relationship. No, to each his own. Build your own life. Build your own legacy. Build your own love or whatever, if that's what you want. But we're not shaming you when we ask.
We just want everybody, if it's your choice, to experience what we experience. One of the greatest decisions, the hardest but most fulfilling decision that I have made as a man to date
marry me?
Was to marry my me. Love. I just said my love.
Okay, just check it. You know.
Y'all see she can get aggressive when she wants to now. I'll tell you, we got some stories on that one too. This woman done trying to kill me a few times.
Oh, he is gonna talk about me drawing.
He asked for
a pencil. And I tossed the pencil, and he swear I almost hit him in the eye, and it did not. I did not almost kill you.
We gonna talk about the knife?
Now the knife is a different story.
We gonna talk about
what happened with the phone?
You threw a whole phone at me.
I threw a phone.
Mm-hmm. Aimed straight for my head. Cat-like reflexes, baby.
I don't remember the phone.
I understand that. Again, you tried to kill me a couple times now.
I didn't try to kill you.
We have offended each other on multiple occasions, but we are still here, and we want you guys to experience what we experienced.
I don't remember the phone. But anywho, love, life, legacy, build it.
We love y'all. You. We'll catch y'all on the flip side.
Peace.
Until the next time. Peace.
Bye.